Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson Rockefeller's will?
You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel,
right here on Radio Free Brooklyn.
Oui.
You're home for things français in Brooklyn.
Oui, oui.
Brooklyn is more than Brooklyn now. It is an international symbol of hip.
Oui.
So to let all of our listeners around the world know, we appreciate you, huh?
Oui.
Yeah, France. We love you, France. For a while, France was our biggest listenership.
Yeah.
For ages.
For a while, yeah.
And then weird things happened.
Yeah.
Because you can't believe any of the analytics. This is a show where I, Josh Rubin.
And I, Noel Dineen.
Come together once a week over a single topic.
Yeah.
And with that single topic, we come up with incredible ideas, all geared for one thing, Noel. And what is that one thing?
It's to get you, the listener, rich, quick.
That's right. It's in the title of the show.
Yeah. Come on, dummies.
We don't ask for any money from you.
No.
Up front.
Oh.
Caveat.
Yeah.
In parentheses.
Yeah.
We don't try to sell you anything. We don't try to upcharge you. We don't multi-level market because we're not shysters like that. We're not thieves.
No.
We're reputable men.
Yeah.
With reputable ideas.
Yeah.
Looking to make money in a reputable way. We give you these ideas. You take them. You action them.
Yeah.
You make them a living, breathing thing.
Yeah.
You live it. You eat it. You love it. And once you're rich, once you've sown the rewards, sown the seeds, reaped the rewards. That's what
we're
it is.
We're sowing them right now.
We're sowing them right now.
Yeah.
Once you have sown our seeds.
Yeah.
And then reaped the rewards.
Yeah.
Of the trillions of dollars, gajillions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Then and only then.
Yeah.
Do you reach out to us.
Yeah.
To Josh and Noel.
Mm-hmm.
With an appreciation.
Yeah.
We'll call it. I call it an appreciation. What would others call it?
A tribute.
A tribute. That's excellent. Some might even call it
a tithe.
Yeah.
That's right. After you have taken our seed and done with it what you will, and you're sitting.
I think I have a brother possibly out there in the world that's exactly how it happened with my father. She took his seed and did with it what she would,
yeah.
And there's possibly someone who looks like me out there on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But in your case, listener, mm-hmm. instead of someone who looks like Josh, you got money. You got a lot of things that look like Ben Franklin.
That's right. You're doing a lot better than this possible half-brother that I have.
Yeah, and only then when you're doing so much better than this possible half-brother do you reach in your pocket,
mm-hmm.
remember from whence you came, and you give us 10%.
That's right.
That's the deal.
Yep. It's pretty straightforward.
It's very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to streamline it. I can't.
Yeah. It's true. That's true. We've streamlined it. That opening got to a point where it was like almost 15 minutes long.
We've
streamlined it drastically.
We really have. We used to really riff on that one for a long time.
Take that a long way. Well past its due date. So that's it. And this is the time in the show where I look at my friend Noel Dineen.
Yeah.
Who I have been. I'm going to reach out and touch your hand, Noel.
Uh-huh.
Because we've been together doing this show almost 3 years now.
Yeah, almost.
Earlier I was thinking that it was much further away from 3 years than it actually is.
You were.
We're very close to 3 years.
We are very close to 3 years.
And as I had said when we had talked about it before,
yeah.
that the reason I suddenly dawned on me that we were right at 3 years was because we're getting near Pride.
Yeah.
And my story about Pride and one of our first three podcasts, one of our first three episodes, maybe five episodes, was used against me.
In a court of law.
In an arbitration of law.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, so I haven't seen you all week, Noel.
No, you
How
haven't.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah?
You know, as I've told you before, and we should tell I'll start with saying.
Uh-huh.
Today.
Yeah.
Is our 150th episode.
No.
Our 150th show.
Is it really?
Congratulations, Josh. We've gotten it down pat. So good, as a matter of fact, that we just finished almost doing an entire show before we realized we had to start over because of a technical problem. So,
yeah. So any excitement you hear from me?
Phony.
Phony as the day is long.
But you listeners should be excited because we have money.
We do. 150 shows worth of money for 150 shows.
That's a good number.
It's a lot. It's definitely, I officially believe 150 is definitely a landmark number.
Yeah.
Like that's one to pin in.
Yeah.
You know, 200, although it's 100, I feel like it's a weird thing. I feel like 200 is like a solid landmark number.
It is, too.
For shows.
Yes.
But I feel like 150, like I feel like once you hit 100, you should maybe go in hundreds.
I feel like you can do 200 and 250.
Mm-hmm.
350 is getting weird.
Right.
But 250 is a big one because it's a quarter of 1,000.
Uh-huh, it is?
Yeah.
Your math is on
so
point.
So you can do 50s up to 300.
Okay.
And then you got to start doing hundreds.
So 300, 400, 500 is obviously a big one. Six, would 750 be, if a quarter of 1,000, wouldn't three quarters of 1,000?
Yeah, 750, yeah.
But then you wouldn't do an 800 or
You'd do an 800, but you wouldn't do an 850.
Why would you do an 800 but not an 850?
Get a whiteboard.
We need to map this out.
Yeah.
I would love to. We should. I would love to see the graphing on this.
Yeah.
It would be very interesting. Well, congratulations, Noel.
And congratulations to you, Josh.
As I said on our previous 45 minutes of this show.
If only he wasn't joking.
I just want to acknowledge all that you do for this show, Noel. You conceived it.
Yeah.
You produce it.
Yep.
You invested in it heavily initially. Now there's really, other than your time, which is worth not much. you took on roles in Radio Free Brooklyn to keep us on the air, just so we could do this show on the air, because Radio Free Brooklyn wanted to be rid of us ages ago. The only, avowed capitalists. In
we're
a world
cornerstone.
Of hippies. We are cornerstone. We're one of their early shows. Yeah. Certainly one of the early shows that's still around.
You can't have a tent. You know the tent poles theory? If all your tent holes are just a couple
tent
of
holes.
Hippies.
Uh-huh. If all your tent holes are a couple of
well,
hippies.
Exactly. If you got a bunch of tent holes, you need a couple tent poles.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we are.
There you go. That was way. I think that worked out a whole lot better than whatever you were coming up with.
It might have.
And on top of it, you are my co-host.
Oh, I think the recorder went out again.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, I was ready to just trash this whole episode. I would be like, see you next week. And you know, I appreciate your being subordinate to me on air.
Oh, come on.
Even though in life, I am subordinate to you. Is that a tear I see here?
No, it's a tear of anger.
Anyway, Noel.
Yeah. Anyway, Josh.
Ties
right into our topic.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
How does that, again, I'll ask you again, how exactly does that tie into our topic?
Because our opening, in case you didn't notice, went one direction, then it went another, and it kind of slithered across the past 3 years, across the past 150 episodes. And the first time we tried to record it, it bit us in the ass. Because our topics this week is snakes, how to get rich with them, how to bite your way to financial freedom.
You can do better than
how
that.
How to see that fortune unhinge your jaw and swallow it whole.
There you go. That I like that. Yeah, Noel, it's snakes. And the real question that we all have is how are you going to get rich?
Oh, how can't you get rich?
That's a good question.
After you listen to this episode, you'll be how can't I get rich with
That's
snakes?
Right. So tell us, Noel.
Okay. Josh is going to have to feign a little bit of surprise at some of this.
Yeah, this is going to go quick because I heard it all.
So there's a guy, a dude named Bill Host.
Mm-hmm.
Was born in Paterson, New Jersey in 1910.
Mm-hmm.
As a Boy Scout, or at Boy Scout camp when he was 11.
Mm-hmm.
He,
so that would have been like 1921.
1921, we're talking, to be precise.
That World War One.
Over.
Right?
By
over.
Then.
Over by then.
That was in the teens.
Right. Okay.
He became interested in snakes. 1 year later, he tried to capture a small timber rattlesnake.
Uh-huh. So when he was 12.
When he was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
He failed at this task. And he was bit.
And I will say again,
uh-huh.
He's an idiot.
Yeah.
And then the other, so he got bitten.
He was 12. He's not an idiot. He's a 12-year-old trying to catch snakes.
Yeah, no. But 12-year-olds, especially if they're scouts, know what kind of snakes they can try. He knew this snake was poisonous.
Oh, he was interested in snakes.
Yeah, and he knew exactly what he was doing and that he shouldn't have been doing it.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he got bit.
He did something else he shouldn't be doing.
What?
He went to the hospital and he quickly recovered.
Now, so my question to you was...
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember the answer because it was so long ago. Did he survive on his own?
In that case, yes.
Yeah, okay.
But less than 1 year later that same year, he was bitten by a 4-foot copperhead. He was hospitalized for a week, but he survived. And in that time, they did give him something.
Okay.
Yeah.
They had anti-venoms at that time?
They gave him some sort of something,
So that is an example of fool me once, shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Fool me twice, shame on me.
Mm-hmm.
He knew better and got bit again.
He didn't care.
Clearly.
And I'll tell you one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
This you'd think that would turn you away and you would run, right?
You would say, like, maybe this isn't the gig for me.
Maybe it's not the gig for me.
Right.
Maybe I should have an interest in gerbils. But no, his interest in snakes became an obsession. He started collecting snakes and learned how to handle them. At 15, he started extracting venom from them.
Mm-hmm.
At 16, he dropped out of school. At 19, he joined a man with a roadside snake exhibit in Florida, which sounds so shady.
It really does.
Right? And if you think that sounds shady,
especially in that time frame, right? 19, it would have been, 1929, 1930.
Solid carny folk.
Snake oil salesman, 100%.
And if you think that sounds shady, let this put you at ease. He roomed with a moonshiner at the edge of the Everglades and became an expert snake capturer.
Yep. I want to know how many teeth he had in his mouth.
I think at this point, probably full.
Oh, yeah, he was youngish.
Yeah.
But I can't believe he was taking care of them.
He eloped, tried to save for his own snake farm, but the fates were not with him at this point. His wife became pregnant, and he lost his job as a speakeasy when it was raided by the IRS. The only reason I kept that detail in,
because
I thought it was so story-worthy as well.
Yeah, I would imagine that he worked at the speakeasy because of his connections with the moonshiner.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he moved back to Jersey, got a real job.
He moved back to, like, moved I would think after living that life.
Now he gave it all up.
Gave it all back up.
Gave,
back, to come
gave
back
up his
north.
Dreams, his obsessions with snakes.
Yeah. To come back to New York, to New Jersey.
In 1946, he decided he'd have enough.
Did he go to the war? Was he in World War II?
I don't know.
Because you say, like, there's a big gap there between when he came back and... Yeah. And then 1946, right after the war ends.
Maybe. But he decided he'd had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Decided he'd saved enough.
Mm-hmm.
Decided he'd have enough of his wife. Left
her. Wow, just left her.
Well, she got sick of his scheming.
Oh, he's a hustler.
The kid stayed with him. The wife stayed in Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
He went down and bought a plot of land facing the highway south of Miami. Began construction on the Serpentarium, which opened in 1947. By 1965, I'm jumping ahead. I'm going to jump back.
Mm-hmm.
He had more than 500 snakes, and he extracted venom 70 to 100 times a day in front of an audience of paying customers.
Wow.
Thriving business.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after opening.
Did he sell the venom?
Yeah, I think so.
Was he just milking the venom to for the joy of the customers? Like, was that the point of the milking of the venom?
It was both,
point?
I think. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear what he would do is he would just take the snake and let it loose on a table. And then he'd grab it and handle it and then milk it. And the audience would be like, ah.
Right, for a little bit of
mm-hmm.
showmanship.
Yeah. But speaking with what he was doing with the venom,
mm-hmm.
soon after opening, he had begun experimenting with venom. He started injecting himself with gradually increasing quantities of venom. He developed a cocktail of 32 species of venom. In the 1950s, the decade of the 1950s,
mm-hmm.
he was bitten by cobras 20 times.
That's crazy.
He was bitten by a king cobra and a green mamba. But he survived because his regimen had made him immune to snake venom.
I guess my concern is
mm-hmm.
is that people are going to think that they can inject themselves with snake venom.
Yeah.
And become immune to snake bites.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Yeah.
It sounds like this guy had something of some sort of antibody built up in him. The fact that he survived two snake bites as a young man.
Yeah.
So I'm just, okay.
Okay.
Continue.
He began donating his blood to use on patients when a suitable anti-venom was not available. In the 1970s, Venezuela gave him an honorary citizenship after he trekked into the jungle to give blood to a bitten child.
He's
a hero.
He is.
In 1977, though, what goes up must come down.
As always.
A 6-year-old boy sat on a wall surrounding the Serpentarium's alligator and crocodile pit and fell in. A 12-foot, 1,800-pound crocodile.
That's such an obscene number.
Killed the boy.
Like, I am surprised that at 1,800 pounds, A, the croc isn't longer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, 12 feet, don't get me wrong.
It's just
12
pure
feet
muscle.
Is,
can
but
you imagine
it's just
how strong it is?
How huge it must be. Like, what its roundth is, its girth, must be massive, dude.
Yeah.
And that head must have been huge.
Oh, yeah.
1,800 pounds.
I'm betting half it was head.
And my only response I can say is that's what she said.
Oh, waka waka.
Waka waka.
Happy 150, guys.
Yeah.
So anyway, we shouldn't be joking because that little boy just died, a 6-year-old boy.
He didn't just die.
In the story, he did.
40 years ago.
And as a result, eventually, the Serpentarium was closed.
That's the sad part of the story.
Yeah.
Because some fucking parent couldn't keep their kid off of a fence that separated the child from obviously certain death. They said, yeah, I'll let my kid roll around on there.
It's Florida.
But it's the Serpentarium's fault.
It's Florida.
What, was the kid filled with meth?
Might have been. It's Florida. So, you guys, Hath claims that he was bitten over 173 times by poisonous snakes. No problem. He claims that the anti-venom was a life extender. And as a matter of fact, he lived to be 101 years old. died just recently?
Well, 1910, he would have died 7 years ago.
Yeah.
That's not that recently.
We've been on for almost half of that.
That's right. He never got to hear our show, though.
No.
I think the greatest regret that he has,
yeah,
or he would have had if he were still alive,
yeah,
is he never had the opportunity to hear our show.
This first up half of the episode that recorded into the ether,
uh-huh,
was for Bill.
Yeah.
So I looked up anti-venom.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it saves people's lives.
Yeah.
I guess that would qualify it as good stuff.
Yeah. And
that was so Trumpian of you right there. That was like the weird understated compliment,
yeah,
but like stupid at the same time. It was incredible.
Anyway.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful, beautiful venom. Anti-venom.
The most beautiful venom.
Most beautiful anti-venom can go up to $20,000.
That's crazy.
A vial. Right?
Crazy.
There's money in that. There's also money. Sub scheme, guys.
Mm-hmm.
One person out there, take that guy's life story and make a movie. Come on. Because it's a superhero story, basically.
Well, you know, we had this discussion. I feel it bears repeating.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, superheroes, it tends to be an accidental,
mm-hmm,
thing.
To which I retorted, Iron Man.
Right. So that's one.
Mm-hmm. That's but one.
That's one.
Now it's two.
But Iron Man also made his own suit.
Yeah.
As opposed to injected himself with venom.
Yeah.
So, you know, your Spider-Man's, mm-hmm, your Fantastic Four's, your Superman's, they were unwitting participants in whatever it was that made them, gave them their superpowers, while supervillains, mm-hmm, for the most part, are trying to become.
Comic book nerds, reach out and
yeah,
tell Josh
out.
He's wrong.
Tell me I'm wrong. School me.
Anyway, guys.
Or agree with me.
So one person can make this story into a movie. It'll sell.
Yep.
Although
the record for movies,
uh-huh,
that have been made based on stories that were retold on this show is 0-for-1.
It's pretty good.
I mean, one's been made,
yeah,
but didn't do well.
I think it did.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't want to leave it at that because I don't want to leave it at just make some money on some anti-venom. Because it's our 150th episode,
uh-huh,
and you deserve a little more.
Yep.
We deserve to kick it up.
Yeah. Bam.
Bam. You guys, here comes the bam.
Oh, boy.
You're going to go out.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get yourself some snakes.
Uh-huh.
And you are going to milk them.
Uh-huh.
By the fangs.
Uh-huh.
You're going to sell some venom. Not all of it, though.
Uh-huh.
Because you need to take your daily venom cocktail.
Yeah.
And you're going to slowly increase,
mm-hmm,
that venom.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, you are going to become immune to snake bite.
Oh, boy.
Your blood is going to become anti-venom. You're also going to be making money by selling that other venom. And you're not going to take that money and live a half-rich blah, blah life.
No.
You're not going to move to the suburbs to a McMansion with that money.
Why would you? That's so boring.
You're going to take that money.
Uh-huh.
You're going to invest in jetpacks.
Jetpacks.
Fast gear.
Uh-huh.
I mean, fast cars.
Uh-huh.
Gear, cameras, maybe a helicopter.
Uh-huh.
You're going to start saving bite victims with your blood.
Wow.
But when you do it, unlike Haas.
Uh-huh.
You're going to do it on camera with the crew, well lit, well produced. In no time at all, you'll be a star. TV shows, movies, lunchboxes, T-shirts.
You're going to kind of be a superhero.
You will. And like a real life one.
Yeah. Flying into remote places, saving people's lives.
Yeah.
And you know what your superhero name could be?
What?
Anti-Venom.
It could be. Or it could be something to do with the Serpentarium.
Like what?
The Superterium. No. I guess you need, I guess the one part you need to leave in there is serpent. Uh-huh. That's the one part you shouldn't take out of it.
Hey, look, it's the Supertarium. What does he do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you're older, you could be called the Serpentarian.
That's true. Yeah. You could.
You guys think of a name.
Uh-huh.
We don't wanna micromanage ya.
No.
No. We wanna leave some fun in there for you.
Well, that was a solid idea the first time I heard it.
Uh-huh.
Little bit weaker the second time I heard it.
Oh, even better.
But congratulations, you guys. Although, I mean, I do question, you know, this does sound like a one-person kind of scheme. Someone's got to get ahead on this.
Uh-huh.
Like, it can't be multiple people doing this.
Okay.
Don't you, right? I mean, if someone's going to get famous from it.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm just making that point.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. Or you could get one, you know, you could have someone in India doing this, someone in the U.S. doing this.
Right.
You could have a South American
That's
one.
That's true. There are the voices all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same hosts. So it could be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Solid idea.
Yeah.
Well, Noel.
Yeah.
I don't have anything.
That's not true. Hey, and officially now, guys, we're in new territory.
We are. So officially, this is Noel hasn't heard any of this.
No.
And that's good because he wouldn't be able to pretend to be excited about this idea. You know, here's a little fact for you, a little snake fact.
All right.
That I just want to bring up. You know, I like to throw a little factoid in here. In the area of Colombia known as Cerejón,
mm-hmm.
which is a treasure trove of fossils, as it was sort of a place where the age of the dinosaurs sort of shifted into the age of whatever came after the swampy, foresty, hot area. Scientists found a giant boa constrictor-like snakes fossil, more than 40 feet long, that they estimate weighed more than a ton. And they gave it the name of Titanoboa.
Okay.
And just with the idea of movies out there, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this movie about the giant shark from the prehistoric shark, like Megalodon.
Okay.
Megalodon.
All right.
They're just calling it the Meg because no one can pronounce the Megalodon.
Okay.
but I think Titanoboa is clearly going to be the next big horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of little sub things that people can take away and get rich with, the giant 40-foot, 1-ton prehistoric snake.
Mm-hmm.
Something to keep in mind.
Okay.
So my idea. You ready?
And the serpentarian.
Uh huh.
Could take him down.
Yeah, that would actually be played by.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name. The actor from Taken.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, because he is, I think he is 70 years old now, so I think he's officially a septuagenarian doing action films. So it would make sense that he would be the serpentagenarian coming down to save the world from Titanoboa.
Yeah. If you want to go back a couple episodes, could be Chuck Norris.
Oh yeah, or even Sly.
Yeah.
He's definitely in his early 70s now. I mean, you know.
Or if you have a different name, it could be a different someone else.
I mean, you can do a whole series of Titanoboa films. It'll be like Godzilla.
Or if you are a good actor and you do that first idea, it could be you.
Whatever. Anyway, Noel.
Anyway, guys.
So I was looking up snakes, and I came across a snake called the Brahminy blind snake. You ever heard of it?
No.
It's a very small little snake. It's also known as a flower pot snake.
Okay.
And it is comprises about 10% of the snake population in the world. You can imagine that's a lot of snakes.
Yeah.
It is also found all over the world because it's an invasive species. The reason it's called a flower pot snake is because it lives in potting soil, essentially. Potting soil, the way it spread around the world was basically through potting soil.
Really?
It's originally an Asian snake. It was originally in Asia. But as soils got transferred hither and yither and thither and yon, they ended up in gardens around the world. They're, like I said, a very small snake. But the most interesting thing about these snakes is that it is the only snake species made up solely of females.
What?
That's correct. Does not need a mate to reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
It is, as I said, the most widespread terrestrial snake in the world. The way the females reproduce is by this thing called parthenogenesis, which means that their eggs require no sperm activation or fertilization. The eggs are self-activated and spontaneously begin cell division and differentiation once they are ovulated and deposited in a nest.
Mm-hmm.
So it all happens within itself. It's a self-contained system. No boys needed. That's really interesting in this age of third. Are we in third wave feminism now, or we've moved into fourth wave?
I don't know.
Well, you know, in this age of feminism,
mm-hmm.
of the Me Too movement, of the
nth wave
feminists. Some might call them feminazis if they're being pejorative.
If they're being pejorative,
yeah. If they're being pejorative. But it got me thinking, right? You know, the amazing nature, like that Wonder Woman movie, mm-hmm. made shit tons of money.
Yeah.
One of the most popular movies in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
Strong, powerful women living on an island with no men.
Mm-hmm.
How did they reproduce? Maybe this was the way. So I was flipping around looking at feminism, and I came across this book, an interview with this author, Suzanne Venker, who wrote about the rise of the alpha female.
Okay.
And this is a thing now, that as women become more and more empowered, the alpha female is becoming a thing. And she wrote a book called The Alpha Female's Guide to Love and Marriage, where she claims that society is creating a new crop of alpha women who are unable to love. Mm. They believe that men lack masculinity and don't take care of their families because the women are too strong and too overbearing. And she suggests that women need to be kinder and nicer to their men so their men feel better about themselves and take back the role of provider and protector of the household.
Okay.
That's a theory which I don't think many of these alpha women would cotton to.
Probably not.
Yeah. They don't, they want to change it all. And nor, I imagine, do they think they should have to.
Yeah.
So this is my thought.
Okay.
The one thing these alpha women need men for, if they aren't into love anymore, they don't want to mommy coddle these baby men.
Yeah.
Is they need them to reproduce.
Yeah.
And that's it. But do they?
Oh.
This is where you, dear listener, are going to make your millions. You already have access, because of so many of my previous ideas, using CRISPR technology.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to imprint the parthenogenetic aspects of the Brahmani blind snake mm-hmm. into women's DNA, these alpha women's DNA, which they will pay fortunes for.
Yeah.
Then you will put them on an island that's completely guarded, that no one knows where it is,
mm-hmm.
and you will create Amazonia.
Yeah.
And you will create real-life Wonder Women.
Yeah.
And you will charge a fortune for this.
Yeah.
It will be an island of alpha women ready to protect the world at a moment's notice. And you will be the person that gets rich off of this. And that's it. That's all I got.
It's pretty good.
I don't know. That silence didn't seem like you're really pondering
that. No, it's pretty
good. Yeah.
No, I was thinking about something.
Yeah, what?
About Wonder Woman.
What about her?
What's the guy's name that crashed there?
Steve something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Amazonia
mm-hmm.
was brought down by mansplain.
That man's plane crashed there.
Oh!
They were mansplained.
Oh, that was great and awful simultaneously. Oh, that was terribly wonderful. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what else is great and awful at the same time, guys?
What, Noel?
It's your love for us and our needs, right? The two seem to clash. How do we rectify them? I can tell you how. You can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.org, go to the Get Rich Quick with Josh and Noel show page, hit the sponsor button, pledge an amount. Half that money will go to Josh and I, like you've always wanted. Half that money will go to Radio Free Brooklyn, like maybe you want. You're a good person. If that second part's all you want, you can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.org, hit the pledge button, and pledge a one-time or recurring amount. All that money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. Keeps the lights on. Keeps the ties dyed.
Because they're hippies.
Yeah.
I get it.
And you get a tax break because Radio Free Brooklyn is a 501c3 charitable organization.
That's true.
Yeah, if you want to support them too, you could go to your Android store, iTunes, download the Radio Free Brooklyn app, listen to it on the go. Live or archives, anywhere you want. See the schedule. Give us feedback.
I tried 150 shows.
Yep.
Most, if you're listening to us via podcast and you've just started listening to us, you may not be able to download all 150.
That's right.
Right? It's usually...
You can if you go to Podomatic or through the Radio Free Brooklyn app. You can
Podomatic.
Get all...
Oh, yeah. That's right. We're on Podomatic.
Or you can get...
I got it twisted. That was some...
My brother. Oh, yeah, my brother.
No, I got it twisted. For some reason in my head, I. Okay, go
so
ahead.
So, but through the app, you can download all 150 shows.
Uh-huh.
So yep. Do it. And it's thanks for you doing all that.
Yep.
It's not enough for us. Even after 150 episodes. Mm-hmm. Where every episode we give you a topic and we give you so many ways to get so many rich.
And we've given you extra. I will say we've already given them extra.
So
we've
much
given
extra.
Them two. Normally we do about four.
Yeah.
Today we've already done four.
We've
given them two small ones,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the two big ones
yeah.
already.
And the secret
already.
Ones that you didn't hear.
That's right. That only those of you who know
yeah.
what
ESP
to listen
guys.
For.
Listen to our ESP episode.
The clues.
And you can get those secret schemes.
For our Illuminati listeners.
Yeah.
Mm.
That we should do secret shows that we never release for Illuminati listeners. But anyway, guys, we like to give even more ways to get even more rich. So take it away.
The Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
All right, guys, it's Daniel Alley. Let me tell you a quick formula that I just thought of. Ambition plus potential plus action equals success. Let me explain. Ambition. Look, all of us have ambition, but some people have more ambition than others. Now, potential is something that is within you, something that's innate. And all of us have potential, but some of us have more potential than others. And the last part is action. So let me summarize. Potential plus ambition plus action equals success.
Are you glad he explained that to you guys?
Yeah, probably. You know, if you take out the potential,
mm-hmm.
you really get more into what Daniel Alley is. Just ass. I guess that's ass.
Ass. My favorite part of that, besides the fact that he twisted it up,
mm-hmm.
it was originally ambition plus potential
mm-hmm.
plus action equals success.
Yeah.
Then it became potential plus ambition plus action equals success.
Uh-huh.
Was that the obvious truisms that mean absolutely nothing,
yeah.
right? We all have ambition.
Yeah.
Some of us have more than others.
Yeah.
We all have potential.
Yeah. Some of us.
some of us have more than others. Yeah. Then you action it.
Yeah.
And you'll be successful.
Yeah.
There's your, there it is, guys. There's your fucking guide to life right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't give you that kind of crap. We give it evenly. We spread it evenly.
We spread our shit evenly across the field.
Like peanut butter.
That's right. And you know what happens when you spread your shit evenly? Everything grows, Noel.
Everything grows.
Everything grows.
It's fertilizer, guys.
That's right. Our shit is fertilizer for your wallet.
Oh, we got a new slogan. If you guys want to write in and encourage us to make that into a t-shirt, Josh will hand stitch them all.
I will.
Yeah.
No, you know, Deb was doing that for a while.
Really?
What's it called when you...
Needlepoint.
Yeah, she was needlepointing for a while.
Do it.
It took her... She needlepointed a t-shirt
for
someone. I think it took her about a month.
Dude.
Yeah.
3 years. That's a lot of t-shirts.
If we started 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Take that as a lesson, guys.
What's
get off your butts. Take some action today.
What is it she's going to be needlepointing? What's the phrase I just came up with that I don't remember?
We'll have to rewind it.
Anyway, Noel.
We are manure for your wallet.
That's right. Our shit is fertilizing your wallet.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, Noel.
Yeah.
Snakes. How are you going to get rich with them, Noel?
I'll tell you.
Because we haven't already given them four ideas. Let's give them one more.
Yeah, we will. We will give them one more.
Yeah.
I've actually got a little mini idea. Not idea, but
no,
snake fact.
It's
snake
good.
Fact.
Okay.
That goes along with your last one.
Oh, okay.
Do you know male snakes have forked penises so they look like there's two penises, and some types of snakes have forked forks, so it looks like four.
Forked forks?
It's like the forks go out, and then they go out.
So they have forked penises like they have forked tongues.
Yeah.
And then you're saying that their forked penis...
Forks.
...also has forks on it.
Yeah.
So it's like an explosion of penis.
It's like a firework. creepy firework.
Uh-huh. That's horrifying.
Yeah. If you think snakes are creepy, like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Just imagine their weird creepy forked penises.
Oh. I didn't want to hear that.
Another
How did that work with mine?
Because yours was only females.
Right.
They needed no males.
Right.
I'm just giving you a fact about the males. another creepy snake fact.
Uh-huh.
So I guess sometimes there's two-headed snakes.
Yes.
Stop me if I'm going to pooch your...
No, not at all. I mean, I'm just saying I knew that.
So
I've seen photos of
two-headed
them.
Snakes?
Mm-hmm.
The two heads,
mm-hmm.
Even though they share a stomach, will fight each other for food.
Yes, I knew that, actually.
That's cool.
Yeah, that is. They'll bite each other.
Yeah.
I remember there was a two-headed, there was a famous freak show two-headed rattlesnake that killed itself.
Okay.
By doing that. It fought itself and then bit itself several times and poisoned itself.
More snake fact.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sure you read this too. And once again, stop me if I'm going to
idea. Nothing you're going to do is going to go into my idea.
Okay. Not even if I start my story by saying if you chop the head off a snake.
Don't say that story.
Okay. That's the kind of after 150 episodes, 3 years.
Uh-huh.
We have this unspoken communication.
A symbiosis.
You guys probably didn't even notice that there was a little blurple there, then we avoided it.
I will say in the past,
uh-huh.
We would have just gone right through it.
Plowed
right
through.
And then just one of us, in this case me, would have looked at you like,
you're
shut
gonna murder
your fucking
me.
Mouth. But no, that was solid.
Yeah.
Anyway,
guys, snakes. So I was like, all right, we already got the venom. We became a superhero. There's so many ways to get rich from snakes. What else can we harvest from snakes? Right?
Apples.
Yeah, you can harvest apples. I was going to go down a whole Adam and Eve route, and I didn't.
Okay.
Well, we all know snakes shed their skin. I looked into uses for snake skin, shed snake skin. Because, like, snake skin boots, that's they kill the snake.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, like, what do you do with this stuff that they just keep shedding?
Have you ever seen snake skin boots where my father was really into Western wear for a period there in the 80s? He had always wore a cowboy hat for a while. he was like Sammy the Jewish cowboy.
Yeah.
He had a cowboy hat, big beard. He had a shearling coat that he wore, and Lucchese boots that were very expensive. A lot of ostrich skin and snake skin.
Okay.
And he was such a good customer of Lucchese that they would invite him to, like, boot showings. And he went to one, and he took me. And one of these boots, it was a snakeskin boot, and on the tip of the toe was the head of the snake.
What? That's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh. So I was looking into what you can do with shed skins. Chinese medicine uses it. They make pills for all sorts of ailments out of it. They also make creams for all sorts of skin problems from it. Science uses it to test drugs on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
It's true.
Just because you say it or because science says it?
Because science says it. And then I said it, so you get the double stamp of approval.
I don't believe it. But okay. For the sake of your story.
I looked at forums where snake owners were discussing the issue. A whole bunch of them I looked at. People with a few snakes would get like 5 skins per month.
That's a lot.
It was more than I realized.
Yeah, I always thought it was like a once a month or once every few months kind of thing.
But these people had several snakes.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So they're like,
okay.
I've got five a month of these things.
Right.
And most of their ideas, I got to say, were so lame. They were like, I like to unravel mine and measure it and try to find the eye cap. Like, I guess there's some special thing on it where the eyes are. There's a bunch of stuff like that. Basically, they didn't have a clue. The best suggestion they had, I saw, was a link to a guy who would make cell phone cases out of your old snake skins.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea. I was thinking those snake skins can be so long. You ever see, like, the Volcano vape machine?
Yes.
So it's a vape machine. And it uses a big plastic bag, and it fills up with the smoke from your vaporized herb product. And then you seal it, and you take it off, and you inhale that smoke from it.
Yeah.
You could use
it's in the front window of every head shop.
Right, exactly. You can have these fucking high-end vape bags.
With snake skins.
With snake skins.
Yeah, you could do that. So this dude that would make the cell phone cases, though, he went bankrupt. So it's not obviously as good as it seems. There's got to be something, right? And I was thinking it and mulling it over, and it kind of crossed something else I was thinking about, and I thought, what about this? Mice and rats hate snakes. Right? And I looked this up. Turns out they're scared of the smell of the shed skins, too. But nobody is doing anything with that fact as far as I could find on a large level. It's just sort of bandied about among snake owners of like, oh, you live on your ranch and you got the snake skins. You can put them around the barn and drive the rats away and drive the mice away.
Wow.
So what you are going to do, dear listener, you are going to get snakes. You're going to get their discarded skins, about one a month per snake. You're going to grind them up. You're going to sell as poison-free, eco-friendly, pet-friendly, child-friendly, rodent repellent.
Hey.
And this is artisanal. This is eco-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
This is using Mother Nature against Mother Nature.
Yeah, no animals were harmed in the making of this.
Nope.
In fact, you're doing a service.
You're doing a service.
Yeah. No, I love it. I would buy that.
Yeah.
I would buy that. If someone actually did it, I would buy it. It you know, we talked about this kind of thing in our rat episode, mm-hmm. where we were talking about the piss, which I said I had bought in the past, and it was completely useless mm-hmm. here in New York. I'd be really curious if the snakeskin stuff would work.
Yeah.
In New York City.
And I actually looked into it and didn't just see these kind of like things going around amongst snake owners. I went to this site that I look at that has scientific research and found something that says that rats were and mice were petrified by the smells of these skins that they put in their cages.
Yeah, I would totally buy that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be huge. And it wouldn't smell like the pee does
yeah.
when it gets wet. Hey, great idea.
Yep.
I like it. So as you were about to allude to before we stopped ourselves, so I had found this funky little fact
yeah.
about decapitated snakeheads.
Oh, what fact is that, Josh?
The fact is, Noel, that a decapitated snakehead will still bite for up to 2 hours after the head is removed from the body.
Wow.
That's incredible. And so I saw that little factoid, but then I wanted to see sort of more of the science behind it, and I look up decapitated snakeheads still bite.
Uh-huh.
2 days ago,
yeah,
in Texas.
Yeah, I saw that.
A dude got bit by a decapitated snakehead.
Well, and in stories, there's so many stories
there
out
are,
there.
Every year,
yeah.
there's some story on something. It was even on Snopes because yeah. people didn't think that it was true. But apparently, and there's a video that a guy has of a snakehead that he decapitated, and he was going to get rid of it, and he suddenly realized that the eyes were still tracking him.
Uh-huh.
And when he put the shovel close to the head, it opened its mouth up and attacked.
Wow.
Because apparently it's because the snake system moves so slowly
mm-hmm.
that it takes about 2 hours for the body to actually realize it's dead.
Wow.
Now, the thing is...
For the head to realize this.
The whole body, because the whole body will keep writhing for hours as well.
Ugh.
The thing is, not only will they bite,
mm-hmm.
but it is a death throw bite, so they're pumping... It's hyper-venomous.
Mm-hmm.
This guy in Texas got bit. It's really touch and go for this guy. Mm-hmm. He's still alive, but they're not sure if he's going to make it. The doctor was saying normally in these cases, someone gets bit by a snake, 2 to 4 doses of anti-venom.
Wow.
This guy, 26.
Whoa.
Yeah. They basically, because it's a death row thing, they release all of their venom
uh-huh.
in the bite. So they just pump you full of venom. And what does the venom do? I mean, it shuts down your organs.
There's several different things it yeah. does, yeah.
It rots your skin, it shuts down your organs, it causes paralysis. Anticoagulation
yeah.
of your blood. The list goes on. But it kills you. That much venom without an anti-venom will kill you. And I was thinking about your favorite movie, Snakes on a Plane.
Okay.
And I was thinking, like, that's crazy that there were all those snakes in there and how creepy that would be.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, like, imagine if you were on a plane that was being hijacked
yeah.
and all these poisonous snakes fell out onto the hijackers and killed them.
Yeah.
It would be like the best
It'd
thing
be joyous.
Ever, right? And you wouldn't have to worry about shots being fired in the mm-hmm. plane. People wouldn't have to tackle them. And I thought, but, you know, the problem is it's snakes. They're going to flop around and they're going to end up on you and they're going to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the answer to that. So the whole overhead compartment, you're going to create this. You're going to pitch this. You're going to sell this.
Yeah.
The whole overhead compartment between the seats are basically going to be filled with freshly decapitated snake heads.
Okay.
Okay? And when the hijackers jump up and say, we're taking over this plane, everyone stay seated, you're going to be safe in your seat.
Mm-hmm.
And the
stewardesses or flight attendants or the captains will trigger something, and these freshly decapitated snakeheads will fall directly onto these guys, mm-hmm. multiples of them, and they will bite them.
Yeah.
I was reading. I was like, but what happens? How is that? You know, they only have a couple hours. Most hijackings take place within the first hour and a half of the plane taking off.
Okay.
So those heads will still be popping and locking and ready to bite.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about one snakehead biting you, filling you up with venom. We're talking about multiple. We're talking basically about instantaneous death. No shots fired. Mm-hmm. Safety everywhere. Everyone sits back for half an hour while the heads sit there. And then the heads stop functioning and they're dead. They get swept up. Done deal.
Yeah.
Once you have that, you get into a whole host of self-defense things.
Yeah.
You can provide people with snake heads for self-defense.
Snake grenades.
For robberies, exactly, for being mugged, whatever it is. I just thought it was incredible.
You know, I've got even an improvement on the plane
How
thing.
How dare you?
No, just to okay, lower your overhead. Fine. Have tubes, pipes with the snakes in them.
Okay.
That hang, or however you want to have it, and then when it happens, the tube cuts the head of the snake, and they fall on the guy.
Oh, so
and that way you don't have to go through a snake every flight.
Right. It's fresh. It's so those snake. But see, I guess you don't necessarily want live snakes up there. That's kind of the point.
No, they're live, trapped in a tube.
Yeah, I guess
with the head pointed in the right direction, and. They all get chopped off and fall on the dude when they need to. And then if you don't, you get to keep your snakes for the next flight.
So you have a snake guillotine. But I feel that that's cruel to the snake.
No, so fast. So clean.
No, but I mean just leaving it in the tube for multiple flights.
Put a TV in there.
Oh, good point.
Hey, guys. If you want to reach out to us and say, hey, happy 105th anniversary.
Happy three-year anniversary.
Happy almost three-year.
Yeah, almost three-year anniversary.
Then you can get us on Twitter, GRQ Josh Knoll.
You can email us at grqwithjoshandknoll@gmail.com.
You can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/GRQJoshKnoll. Go on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review. If you only listen to us in podcast form, we implore you, get the schemes 5 days for everyone else. Tune in Saturday nights, 8 o'clock, Radio Free Brooklyn. Get there early, listen to Art Star Scene. Stick around later, listen to It's All Nice and Nice and Hellwave. Download the app, give us money. Worship Radio Free Brooklyn. You guys, about this time, you got a lot of money in your pocket. You're going to have to do something with it. Josh scours the internet, so you don't even have to think about that. Josh, take it away.
After the Paris robbery, Kanye West spent $8 million on security upgrades for his wife, including Kim Kardashian lookalikes. The couple spent over $20 million on redecorating their house in Hidden Hills after the Paris incident. When Kim Kardashian was robbed at gunpoint, the rapper went crazy with security upgrades. Another $6 million went into security tech for the house and on the go, including, if you can believe this, Kim Kardashian lookalikes that are meant to serve as decoys in case of another attack. He also purchased two Prombron Iron Diamond armored vehicles, costing a whopping $1.2 million each for both himself and his wife.
So there you go, guys. Spent all that money on security.
That's right. And because it's our 150th episode, you know that these ideas are solid. We don't need to judge them against anything.
Nope. So there it is, guys. So we're definitely getting rich. So once again for Josh.
And Noel, don't spend all that knowledge in one place.
Land on the line, learn the game again. Everybody's gonna lose, and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day. So stick around, baby, and everything will be okay. $20,000 when I came back, gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day.